Lord Jesus, speak to us and strengthen our spirit tonight. Strengthen our understanding tonight and help us and fill us in this meeting. In the outline, we've come to point number 7 already. Maybe some of you are surprised about the jump here in the titles, but it's actually not a jump that we're going to have for the next 3 meetings. I want to read a verse from Genesis chapter 1 again. That was mentioned already today, verse 24. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature around, according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so." Verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth according to its kind. Here, we see cattle is mentioned. In Genesis chapter 1, the cattle that is mentioned especially has the meaning that this cattle should be used as sacrificial animals for God. At this time, man hadn't started eating meat yet. Later, they did. But here, this cattle is here, and it has to do with sacrificial animals. That's what the cattle was created for, to serve man for their supply, but also to serve as sacrificial animals for God. And these sacrifices that God wants to have from man is a very important burden that God shows us throughout all the scriptures. The animals that God wants to have as a sacrifice, maybe some of us know a little bit about it already. There are different offerings that God requires of His people in the Old Testament. And all of these offerings, all of these sacrifices have a meaning for us in the New Testament. That is very important. That's why we started off the meeting by reading Hebrews chapter 10. I want to come back to this passage that we read first. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, we also see that the offerings, the sacrifices are mentioned that God talks about in the Old Testament. In verse 3 it says, "But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of the bulls," so here we see cattle, right? Bulls and goats could take away sins. And then verse 5, "Therefore, when he came into the world," he said, and he here is Christ. "When he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God.'" Amen. In these few verses, we have a proof that the true sacrifice is our Lord Jesus Christ. His coming into the world was there for, so that now it's no longer the animals that have to be sacrificed. We don't sacrifice animals anymore today. Today, Christ is this all-inclusive sacrifice that pleases God. All offerings and sacrifices that were brought to God in the Old Testament had the purpose to appease God. The Bible says it's a sweet-smelling fragrance for God. And yet it says here in verse 4, it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. That can never please God. And then when Jesus Christ came into the world, He became the all-inclusive, all-encompassing sacrifice that is very, very important. He is the one who is the reality of all offerings that we see in the Old Testament that God wanted to have. This wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ. That shows us Jesus Christ isn't as simple as we thought. He's not only our Redeemer who died for you, but He is this all-encompassing, comprehensive sacrifice for Christ. And this sacrifice that God wants to have in the Old Testament, we can read about it in 1 Peter 2. God also wants to have it now in the New Testament. We shouldn't think that everything that's written about the sacrifices and offerings in Leviticus has nothing to do with us today, because that's not the case. Maybe some of you don't know Leviticus too well. If you have time, read Leviticus chapter 1 to 7 or 8. There, all the sacrifices and offerings are described that God wants to have from His people. And when we come to 1 Peter 2, verse 5, then we see that this very much has something to do with us. There it says, also you, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is a very meaningful phrase, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So here, what is described in the Old Testament with the animals has all been fulfilled in the New Testament in Christ. He is the reality of all offerings in the Old Testament. And I'd like to write down three important points out of this verse. First, we have the house or temple. That's the place of worship. And then next, we have the priesthood. The priesthood always belongs to the temple. Without the temple, there's no priesthood. Without priesthood, then there's no use in having a temple. And the third thing mentioned here are the sacrifices. And this is what God always required of His people in the Old Testament. He not only led them out of Egypt, saved them, and brought them to the good land. But God always wanted to have a temple. He always wanted to have the priesthood. And together with this, the sacrifices. That was God's goal in the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, 1 Peter 2 says that this temple today, that is the church. Praise the Lord. Today, God, just like He wanted to have a temple in the Old Testament, without the temple, That doesn't work. If David hadn't come to build the temple, then God would not have been satisfied. And it's exactly the same, the New Testament. We can't live without the church. As important as the temple was in the Old Testament, that's how important the church is in the New Testament. That's how important the church is in God's purpose. And in the New Testament, in the church, the priesthood, those are the saints. All believers. Peter says in verse 9, but you are a royal priesthood. This is our calling. This is our profession. We are all priests. That's why in the church we are very, very important, because we are God's priesthood. And the priests and the Old Testament, the animals, they were the animals in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, this is all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the reality of all sacrifices that we can find in the Old Testament. This is very important, that we see that God in the Old Testament, He wanted to have the left side of the list. And in the New Testament, He wants to have the right side of the list. He wants to have the church. In the church, He wants that all would serve as priests. Today, oftentimes only a few serve as priests, and there is we have a concept of priests that is totally against what we find in God's word. It means you need to be a theologian. But praise the Lord, in the church we are all priests. That's our profession. And the main task of a priest is to bring Jesus Christ as a reality of all spiritual sacrifices to God. That is our main task in the church. That's what God wants. He wants us to experience this Christ in all His riches. We'll see in just a minute that there's not just one sacrifice, but there are several sacrifices. And this Christ is what God wants to enjoy as a sacrifice in the church. That's why we're in the church. We're here for this worship. This is the worship for God in the New Testament. That's why we come back to John chapter 4. 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Father is seeking such to worship Him like this. This is what the Father wants. The such who worship Him in the Spirit and in truth. Worship doesn't mean that we have a nice choir in the church, a worship band. That's not this type of worship that's talked about here. The real worship is experiencing Jesus Christ and all of these sacrifices. This is what the Father wants to have in spirit and in truth. This wonderful Christ. Amen. So, now, I want to list off the sacrifices in Leviticus, because maybe we're not all aware of them. There are five main offerings in Leviticus. And the first one is the burnt offering. That's the first one mentioned in Leviticus chapter 1. And the second one is the meal offering or the grain offering. And the third is the peace offering. And the fourth is the sin and trespass offering. Yeah. The fourth is the sin, and the fifth is the trespass offering. I just want to mention these five that we will see in the next coming meetings. We want to see what spiritual meaning all of these offerings have for us today, because that's what's important. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the reality of all of these five offerings. That means God is only pleased by His Son. God is only pleased when we bring Him His Son as a sacrifice for our worship. And coming back to Hebrews 10. Or there's a verse read in Matthew 3, verse 17. It was read during the baptism, which is very good. Matthew 3, 17. And see, a voice came from heaven that said, see, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God enjoys it when in the church our experience, we bring back our experience to Him in the church for His good pleasure, for as a sweet-smelling fragrance. Often we have the attitude that Christ is just for me. He's only for me. But here God shows us Christ. God wants to enjoy Christ in the church. When we're in the church, we're not just here to enjoy the Lord for our personal needs. But once we've experience and enjoy the Lord, then what God wants is that we would bring back this Christ that we have enjoyed into the church. This is what pleases God. This is what God wants to have in the church, a priesthood that brings spiritual sacrifices for His good pleasure. Praise the Lord. How do you come to the meeting? How often do we think that God wants to enjoy something in the meeting? Often we pray, Lord, I want to enjoy You. But these offerings show us God wants to enjoy something in the church. And in John 4, He said the Father is seeking such who worship Him. He's seeking such who bring something for the enjoyment of God into His house. That is what God wants to have now at the end of this age. People who are such true worshipers. Yeah, hallelujah. We should tell the Father, Father, make me to a true worshiper. Make me to someone who brings something into your house of Christ for your enjoyment. Amen. How wonderful it is if we are such people who think, who consider that God wants to have something from us. In the Old Testament, there's even a law that says when the people went up to worship in Jerusalem during the feast, it says they couldn't come empty-handed. That was a law. All the males were not allowed to come empty-handed, because otherwise that would mean God didn't bless you with anything. He didn't give you anything. You have empty hands. You're empty-handed because you haven't received anything from Him. And that's not right. We've seen how much we have received in Christ. That's why it's even a law that we are not allowed to come into the house of God empty-handed, because the Lord gave us so much. That's so wonderful. And I hope that in the next meetings we discover more of God's riches. Because here it's really not about theology. It's about that we discover the riches of Christ, because our Lord is so rich. You need the entire Bible, all the scriptures, to try to describe His richness. You need the entire creation. You need the sun. You need the fish. You need the different types of plants. You need so much to describe the richness of Christ. And now we need the sacrifices to see how rich the Lord is, what God blessed us with, and what God wants to enjoy from us. Now we come back again to Romans, to Hebrews 10, to talk especially about the burnt offering. In Hebrews 10, verse 5, it says, "Therefore, when He came into the world, He said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me.' In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure." In verse 7, "Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God.'" To do your will, O God. And in verse 9 he repeats it. "Then he said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God.'" That's wonderful. This has to do with the burnt offering. When the Lord came on earth, first of all, He came to do the will of God. He didn't come, first of all, for our sin's sake, but He came to be a man whose life completely in all matters filled and fulfilled God's will, that completely satisfied God. That's what our Lord came on earth for, to become such a man that completely pleases God. What a wonderful man. This was really very, very important. Because God's purpose is completely connected to man. God's plan and purpose can never be completed without man. We, men, are the most important part of God's creation. And God has much in store for us men in His purpose. He wants us to be His expression, in His image. Only man is able to do this. Only man can completely express God. This is our calling. This is our predestination. He wants that man would reign on earth. That's God's purpose, intention with man. He wants that man would defeat Satan. This is a purpose of man, that to defeat Satan. That's why God didn't defeat Satan himself when He judged the world, because that's what man was created for. And man is also created as God's companion, to be God's bride. That's how important man is. Praise the Lord, that we are people, that we are men. Don't you enjoy to belong to men? God has such a purpose for us. But unfortunately, we know in Genesis, man fell immediately. The bad thing about sin is not that you've sinned, but it means we've totally missed our aim. Our predestination, what we're called for, we missed out on it. Yeah, man should defeat Satan, but actually Satan defeated man. This destroys the purpose why man was even created. It makes it useless. Today, we people, we don't care about God's plan or will at all. We have a huge lack, not that because we are sinners, but because we are not for God. Our greatest lack is that we are not for God. When we look at our daily life, how much time do we give to the Lord? How often do we obey the Lord, and how often do we disobey Him? We notice, Lord, I'm not for God. Especially when things start to get hot. We enter into difficulties, then we are not for God. Like the first Adam. The serpent came to the woman, and then the woman came to the husband, and then immediately, all of a sudden, he wasn't for God anymore. It happened so quickly. That's why God had to become man, because God does not give up his plan with man. And our Lord is a man who is completely for God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is absolute for God's purpose, and nothing could stop the Lord from doing God's will. That's wonderful. Let's read John 4:34. The disciples came to the Lord here, and Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." It's wonderful. The Lord said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me." Wonderful. This situation, the Lord was tired. He was thirsty, he was hungry, he was traveling around, and it was in the heat of the day. There's at least five reasons for him not to preach the gospel in that very moment. What will we do when we're hungry, thirsty, it's hot outside, we're running errands, and we're tired? I think we know ourselves well enough to say what we would do in that situation. I know, the son, we're not for God so much anymore. But here he says, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me." Amen. We have a wonderful Lord. And this is the burnt offering. This is our Lord. He is completely there, absolutely there, and only there to do God's will. Praise the Lord. He is our burnt offering. In John 5, verse 19, the Lord says again, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He says, sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner.'" But whatever He does, the Father does, the Son also does in a like manner. What an obedience. Whatever the Father does. The Lord didn't do what pleased Him, and what He didn't like, He didn't do, or He did it later. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does in a like manner. What a wonderful burnt offering. What a wonderful Son. Verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. That's a wonderful sentence. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous. Because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Amen. It's wonderful. I do not seek my own will. The Lord is so wonderful. But the will of the Father who sent me. Amen. The Lord is always completely for God. And then verse 36. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given to me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. What a man. He always did what the Father wanted. He always sought the Father's will and not his own will. Whatever the Father gave him to do, he completed it. He didn't go halfway. Lord Jesus is wonderful. The Lord fulfilled everything. He completed everything. We have such a wonderful burnt offering. The Lord is the only man who always did what the Father wanted. It pleased the Father so much. That's why the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." What a wonderful burnt offering. And in Philippians, we heard he was obedient until the death on the cross. That's how far the Lord went, unto death. And in John 10, verse 30, he says, "I and the Father are one, completely one." The Father says, I and my Father are one. The Father and me and the Father. What a man. No, not 1% of himself, but 100% for the Father. The second person, the second Adam, had to be sent to us. The Lord had to be sent to us by God. Why? For us, for our need. Don't you realize how much need you have of such a burnt offering, of such a man who is completely for God, who seeks the will of the Father, and who completes everything that the Father wants him to do? That is so wonderful. The Lord is this burnt offering for us. I want to come to Leviticus chapter 1. Especially verse 4. Start reading from verse 2. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock. It's a voluntary offering. Bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He shall kill the bull before the Lord.
Wird,
when this bowl is brought. First, he has to put his hand on the head of the burnt offering. That means he makes himself one with the offering. And in the same way, the Lord, for us, he is this man. We should make ourselves one with him. We should tell the Lord, Lord, I make myself one with you. The Bible says, he who is joined to the Lord, he is one spirit with him. Bible. So wonderful. We really have a way. That is to make ourselves one with the Lord in our spirit. And that's what it means to put your hand on the head of the burnt offering. You really support yourself. You lean on it. That's what the Lord wants. Today in the church, at the very beginning we heard the Lord wants to fulfill his purpose with us. But how shall he do this? Who among us is able to do this? It's so good. We have a burnt offering. Christ is our burnt offering, and we lay our hands upon him. We say, Lord, I make myself one with you. I'm not for God, but you are completely for God, and I make myself one with you. And then it says, he shall kill the bull before the Lord. That means he who brings the offering, he has to kill the offering himself. And then he should skin it and cut it into pieces. It's verse 6. And then afterwards, there's a law that the blood, it squirts on him, splashes on him. You have to imagine what it's like when you yourself have to sacrifice the animal. You have to do it, and the priest doesn't do it for you. You have to kill this poor bull yourself. My goodness. What does the Lord want to say to us? I think if you've done this, you never forget it. If you have to kill the animal yourself, you have to skin it yourself, you'll never forget that. You'll think, oh, what have I done? The Lord wants to show us in this way what everything that he had to go through here on earth as a man to do God's will. This shouldn't be so objective for us. Yeah. The Lord did this for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But rather, we should really have such an impression for what the Lord did for us to be such a sacrifice for us today. That's the meaning of it. The Lord wants us to notice something in our spirit, that it becomes subjective for us, not so distant, that we have an impression to say, thank you, Lord, for what you have done and gone through as a man to make us sufficient for God again. That was no small matter. That wasn't easy for him to become such a burnt offering. And the Lord wants us to treasure this, that we can sense this in our spirit. That's so wonderful. That we experience and notice what the Lord has done for us to make us useful for God again. We should really treasure this. And at the Lord's table, we should bring him such a worship. Because at the Lord's table, we have the opportunity to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Therefore, let's not miss out on the Lord's table. And also, let us not come there with empty-handed. Let us not just look at the table and then not feel anything about it. But let us see what the Lord has done for us. I treasure the Lord's table. I don't want to miss out on it. And I also don't want to come empty-handed. But I want to bring a praise offering for the Father. I want to bring a burnt offering to the Father. The Father. And this week, this situation where there was something to do, and you showed me what I should do, and I didn't want to do it. Maybe sometimes I don't want to serve. Or how is it with you? Maybe some things we always like to do, but there are some things we never like to do. So what do you do if you don't want to serve? You don't feel like serving, so you just don't serve. No, we say, Lord, you are my burnt offering. I come to you. We shouldn't do it by ourselves. Because, you know, just to do it doesn't make it acceptable to God. If there's something to do and I just do it out of myself, I do it so that it's done. God won't accept this. Even though what I do is good, but the fact that I'm doing it, it's the wrong person already doing it. It's like you have a thief. And he gives $1 million for a good purpose. He's a thief, but he gives $1 million for a good purpose, but he stole $10 million. First, when you say, oh, he's donating so much money, yeah, he's a good man. But he stole $10 million. What do you think the judge will do when he sees this thief? Think he will give him a reward for donating the money? He will tell the policeman, take him to jail. And that's what it's like when we sinners do something for God. Just out of our own self, God will never recognize this. We have to realize we are sinners and our being is never well-pleasing to the Lord. That's why in the church we should never just do something so simply out of ourselves. God will never accept this. In Matthew, the Lord said to those who did so much for him, "Be away from me, you doers of unrighteousness. I've never known you." That means he doesn't recognize what they did for him. Why? Because if you do it out of yourself, it doesn't please God. It's like with Cain and Abel. It's the same principle. So if someone asks you to serve, or if the Lord shows you something to serve, we shouldn't just go and do it. That's not good. God won't accept this. But in Colossians 3, Paul shows us how are we supposed to do it? Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all, even in when we speak, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Before we do anything, we say, Lord, you are my burnt offering. I take you. I don't do it on my own. I lay my hand upon you and I take you for this service. Because if you do it like this, you won't be frustrated. You won't get frustrated. You won't want to gather the glory for yourself. You won't grow tired. But you will give thanks to the Father through him. This is a wonderful experience. Recently, before the conference, there was so much to do. There was a point that came. I grew quite tired. And I told the Lord, Lord, something's wrong here. I'm serving you, but I'm tired. And the Lord showed me, yeah, because the way you're serving, that doesn't please me. I don't like it. you missed the burnt offering. And then the next task already came rolling in, and it was hard. They were complicated tasks, and I didn't think it was going to be so complicated. But before I continue to tackle the task, I sat down and said, Father, I need Christ as my burnt offering. Now I take your Son. Show me how it should be. Show me, what do I need to do? What's the next step? I don't want to do anything unless you show me how. Lead me, fill me, give me the way. That was really wonderful. At the end, yeah, Jonah just called me, and I said, Jonah, praise the Lord! Because it was completely different then. Before that, it was like, oh no, Jonah's calling the next task and another task. It wasn't good. It smells. It reeks. That's what it's like when we sinners serve God. God can't accept it. We shouldn't think that God accepts it just because we do it. He doesn't recognize it. That's why we need to turn ourselves to the Lord. All you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We have a burnt offering, and we should lean on it and put our hand upon it, claim it in every small matter. Praise the Lord, then the Lord will give us so much praise for Him. And this praise then we bring back to the Father at the Lord's table in the church. Then we can say, Father, your Son is the burnt offering works. It works. It had an effect in me. The Father will enjoy this. This is the sweet-smelling fragrance that He wants to have. So wonderful when there are such true worshipers in the church. This will please God. And this burnt offering comes in different sizes. First, there's a bull. That's the biggest size. Then there's the goat. And then there's also the dove, the turtle doves. So, depending upon our measure of growth, but with all three, in verse 9, 13, and 17 in Leviticus 1, it says, it's a sweet aroma to the Lord. A sweet aroma to the Lord. So even if your service is small, and you're not doing some big thing, but if you take the Lord into it, then it is a sweet aroma to the Father. That is so very wonderful. Amen. Then God receives the glory. And in Colossians 3, there are two more practical verses. Verse 23 and 24, it says, and everything that you do, whatever you do, you can't do nothing in the church. You can't say, okay, if God isn't going to recognize what I do, then I'm just not going to do anything anymore. But God doesn't please God either. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. That's really important. Even if you have to clean something, or maybe some other practical deed, your work. Every day you go to work, every day you go to school, or to university. For whom are you doing it? Are you doing it for yourself to earn money? Or for your boss so that he gives you a raise? Who am I doing it for? Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. If we do something, we have something to do, we can say, Lord, I do it for you. Then it will become very sweet. Even such a meaningless task will turn into something precious. That's so such a precious exercise to take the Lord into the task. Do it to the Lord and not to men. You know, before the conference, there are so many things to do. And one thing, someone had a special wish, and I was taking care of it. And while I was doing it, the Lord touched me. And I told the Lord, Lord, I'm not doing it for the sake of this person, but I'm doing it for you. You know, the difference is then, it's not necessary. And you don't want that the person tells you thank you at the end. If you were to do it for a person, then you expect the person to tell you thank you in the end. But when you do it for the Lord, what do you do? What do you get? In verse 24 it says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. You receive the inheritance. That's a lot better. And you won't be disappointed. It's a very important exercise when we serve. For you serve the Lord Christ. The Lord is our master and no one else. And for this we have received a wonderful burnt offering in the church. Praise the Lord. Our Christ is a wonderful burnt offering whom we can claim. In another verse that we can claim, that strengthened me a lot. Let's read it. 4:13. Philippians 4:13. They read it first in French, then we'll read it in English, and then in German. Philippians 4:13, first in French and then in English altogether. Philippians 4:13. So now in English, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In English it says, I can do all things through Him, through Christ who strengthens me. When we serve and have something to do, let's do it through Him, and we can do all things. Often we say, ah, that's not possible. No. Later, this isn't my gift. I'm not strong in that. No. Here it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What if the Lord tells you to do something, to preach the gospel to your colleague, but you're very busy? You say, Oh, my spirit's down right now, and I'm busy, and I don't know if the colleague is even open. And I think like this a lot when I'm at work. All these thoughts come into my mind. But then we should think of this verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to exercise our faith. Say, Lord, You are my burnt offering. Yes, Lord, through You, make me strong to preach Him the gospel. Lord Jesus, You are the way, and we will experience how the Lord is with us and how He opens up the opportunity. He always has a way. It's so good to be a believing believer and not an unbelieving believer. Not always saying, I can't do this, that doesn't work, preaching the gospel tomorrow is too difficult for me to do. We are unbelieving believers. We shouldn't be like that. But we should say, Lord, I'm a believing believer. I have received a spirit of faith that's really so wonderful. If we can experience this and exercise this, then the Father will receive a lot of praise and a lot of glory. Yes, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord wants to have such worshipers in His house.
Ja, Amen. Doch, lasst uns den Herrn reichlich genießen als unser Brandopfer.
So let's experience the Lord richly as the burnt offering in these days, and bring this burnt offering to the Father. Let's not make many excuses, have silly excuses, but say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, you strengthen me. You make me capable. You are my way. Praise the Lord.